Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and POC topics such as
Shug and Seeley from The Color Purple. Like, they were almost a thing in the movie, when I remember explicitly in the book there is something actually happening. Because, like, in the movie there was just a kiss, and I'm like, yo, you deserve and you owe these characters so much. Like, let them have their, like, soft, tender, you know, you know, moment together alone, you know?
But they, like, got an on-screen kiss. I mean, that's kind of cool.
I mean, that's cool in the 90s. That's progressive, I guess. I guess we'll take it, but come on, Steven Spielberg. He says, he says that he softened it just for the movie. Because he's like, oh, we know, it has the same tonality.
That movie was
book.
In the 80s.
In the 80s? Oh, my God. See? But I still...
Yeah, 85.
Yeah, but Watermelon Woman, which came out, I think, in, like, 93, 94, like, it... Okay, Steven Spielberg. I'm gonna let you keep it. I'm gonna let you live, Steven Spielberg, for now. For hiring Lena Waithe. I'm gonna let you live.
For now. What up, cabrona? I see you chugging that drink.
What's poppin', chingona? You already know what's up. It's Sunday and I'm litty.
Oh, yeah, because of where you're at, it's like already almost the evening time over here. Like, it's still sunny and shiny in the morning.
I know. I did this for you because I was like, I ain't trying to get you drunk at 10 a.m. no more. So, like...
I appreciate that so much.
Yeah, I don't want you to be drunk and then kind of just be not be able to function the rest of the day. So I was like, yo, let me give her till like 3 p.m. Texas time. So what's up? What's popping? I have questions, bro. So much has happened.
A lot has happened. And this episode, just, you know, heads up, is going to come out maybe like a month after we record. But, you know, what we're going to have to say today is still going to be pretty relevant. So don't worry about it.
No. So Clexicon is coming past and I have questions. And there was one particular person I wanted to ask about. So, dude, Nafessa Williams from Black Lightning, I have questions. There was a panel, dude?
There was a whole panel. And, you know, it was a little... They had, like, a different kind of panel setup this year where some of the panels were literally just the one person from this TV show, like Nafessa Williams, who plays Anissa Pierce, also known as Thunder on Black Lightning. Also known as, like, a fucking bulletproof lesbian who is black, beautiful, proud. Like, I'm sorry, I'm ranting and raving. But it was just her and a moderator in this panel. Yeah. God, bulletproof, and she's black and a lesbian. Like, it was just, it's so magnificent. Like, it's obviously, it's in its first season. I understand. And it's on the CW. Like, it hasn't gotten the buzz it deserves. But I'm here to fucking buzz about it. So let's do this.
So I have a question, like, how was the crowd for Nafessa?
So, like I said, like, it was kind of a weird setup this year. It was one of the earlier panels of the day, if I remember correctly, which and the fucking problem was that a lot of the people that were there were big Winona Earp fans, big Supergirl fans, you know what I mean? Like, from the past years and from all the hype that they've gotten. So when these lines get really fucking huge, a lot of these crowds would end up, like, skipping other panels to get in line and be able to make sure that they can get into these other panels. So I think a lot of people missed out on some of the lesser known things like Black Lightning because they were waiting in line basically for other stuff. And it's kind of understandable, but my bitch ass was like, I'm going to this Black Lightning panel. And a good amount of people did too. I think enough that I think Nafessa Williams was not like disappointed or anything like that. She got a good crowd considering it was just her.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been a lot better if the schedule had been structured differently.
Damn, but yeah, because I heard on Twitter that, like, no, yeah, dude, I heard on Twitter that, like, she didn't get the reception that she deserved. Like, there wasn't as many people at her panel. And that was, like, very concerning to me because, like, Clexicon is bringing in, like, diversity. And they've been working on that. And I think that's pretty awesome. But I just wonder if, like, the crowd felt the same way that, like, POC people at Clexicon. Like, what was the... How was the POC turnout?
It was interesting. I actually have, and they might have already come out, but you know, we're gonna have some of these conversations, specifically with people that were at Klexicon who are panelists.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, might have come out already. Not sure if they haven't, then they're coming soon. But yeah, so there was some discrepancies there. It's kind of to be expected, but like also like kind of wish it was. I think it's also preventable. But I want to focus on the positive just because it's something that we didn't get to do a lot in Klexicon. But I want to focus on the positive when it came to that that panel specifically, which is Nafessa Williams was literally just the most magnificent woman ever. Like, she was hyping it up. She was just like, you know what? This lesbian black superhero, like, is everything. Like, she was as big of a fan of Anissa or Thunder. She was as big of a fan as we were. You know what I mean? You could feel her just being like, this fucking crowd is everything. Being like, this character that I have the privilege of playing is everything,
dude. That's so rare.
She was just super hype about it, and she was super fucking smart.
Yeah,
definitely.
Oh my god. And you said she was smart. Like, what else did she, what was her insight? Like, I want to know.
She's super fucking smart. So during one of the QAs, this girl, I guess she's a Supergirl fan, she asked her, she's like, hey, like, do you think that maybe there'll be like a Supergirl Black Lightning crossover? Because that's something that the CW does with like Legends of Tomorrow and Arrow and The Flash and or whatever. And Nafessa was like very like blunt and honest and amazing about it. She's like, I'm okay with it if it makes sense, but you know what, it doesn't fucking make sense right now. Because really, like, you think Supergirl is gonna go to Freeland? Like, can you see that girl in Freeland,
in Chicago,
and
basically.
She was so blunt. And then that yes, or yeah, or Cleveland or whatever. But I don't know what it's based on, actually. That's a good question. But then the girl was like, okay, so how about Anissa goes to National City, which is in Supergirl? And she's like, okay, Anissa does not have time to be going to National City. She has business to take care of in Freeland for her people. Like, that's why she's doing everything. And she was super woke as fuck about it. And like, and I love that. I love that she knew her shit. And I love that she wasn't just there like fan service. She was just like, I'm here for, and I'm ride or die for this character. And I love it. And I just watched the season finale because I wrote an article on it. Shameless plug.
Hey, Popper TV. Shameless plug. Go check it out. My Third Rights articles.
Yeah. So I just wrote on it and I finished that up. And I was texting my friend about it. And I cried like 3 times during the season finale.
Oh.
It was so beautiful.
No, that's and
then you know me, I don't have emotions.
You guys, Maite doesn't feel things, so her saying that she's crying is like mad real. You guys should actually head over and watch this as soon as possible. And plus, like Anissa, this character is literally everything we've ever asked for when it comes to diversity. She's queer, she's black, she's strong, she's interesting, she's multifaceted. Like, you guys, what the fuck are you guys doing? Go watch this.
She's for the people, and we're gonna give you more reasons later, so fucking stay tuned. But the craziest fucking thing happened after like that panel. You know, I went to like other panels, I was walking around doing my thing or whatever, and we're walking to like the restroom because my friend wanted to go to the restroom, and she like looks back at me, she's walking in front of me, she looks back at me, and she like, you know, like points over to the left, and I'm just like, my bitch ass was like in another world, I guess. But she like brought me into reality, and I turned to my left. I turned to my left, and there stands none other than Nafessa Williams, right? And I'm just like, oh my fucking god, right? And like, I'm just like, you know what, fuck it, I'm fucking just shoot my shot.
Hey.
So I'm like, Nafessa, hi. And I don't, like, this is what my friend told me, because I don't remember, I blacked out, but my friend told me that I said hi, like, I'm like, hi, I'm Maite or something, and like, I'm a really big fan, and like, I shook her hand, I guess. And like, and I was telling her like that she's an inspiration, and like, I don't know, I was just like, you know, fangirling, and I gave her a sticker.
Yes, gave her a sticker.
I don't remember what else happened after that, because my friend walked away. Oh, but then the cutest thing, like, she was reading the sticker, she's like, cabrones y chingonas, and like, she like tried to say the word, and she was being really, really sweet. And she asked me what my name was, because at some point I was stuttering my fucking name. I don't know, but she was sweet, she was about my height, so that was really interesting. She seems like such a petite, like such a like otherworldly, like above, Yeah, but she's very small. Like, she looks, she seems so larger than life in the show. She seems like she could kick some ass, and I'm sure she can, even at her size. But I was like surprised to see, like, we're like eye level. I was like, oh shit. Yeah. It was great.
You're like, wow, we're the same height. I thought you'd be like 3 feet taller than me. That's so adorable.
Yeah, but she was really sweet. And then, like, I ended up catching up with a Cabronas y Chingonas listener. Shout out to Chrissy. She was telling me how she spent a lot of time in, like, autograph lines. And she went and got Nefesa's autograph, which I thought was really, really sweet. And I was like, thank God. Like, I love that some people were there and lining up for her. Because she was right next to Emily Andrus, who is the showrunner of Winona Earp. Who had, like, a fucking mile-long line. Yeah, so in comparison, it was kind of sucky, but at the same time, it was like any single person that went out there and supported Nefesa, like, props to you, because she deserved that shit. She deserved every bit of hype. God,
yeah, she deserves all the hype. I mean, you only watch her scenes, so.
Jesus, this is actually one of those shows that you really should watch the whole thing. It makes so many comments on, like, our political fucking atmosphere. And that's your shit.
It really is. That's my entire shit. So I like that. You know what? I'm going to give it a try. I've been told by multiple people to give it a try, other than you.
You should. Just watch, like, the first three. And, like, you'll see. You'll fucking see it. Like, immediately. You'll see it in the first scene.
The first scene? Okay, girl. Okay.
Yeah, which I can fucking tell you about. Like, I'm going to tell you about the show and spoil it just a little bit. Because I want to get into some good shit. But yeah, that's what I'm going to be talking about today, is Black Lightning.
Yeah. We have a really good episode, might, that we've already been talking about it, but it's going to get deeper.
Dang. It's going to get super deep. So,
dang.
So before we get into it, because, you know, I know some of you guys sometimes aren't into spoilers, we're also going to talk about, what are you going to talk about today?
I am also going to talk about Lena Waithe's show called The Chai.
That lovely, lovely woman. We still love you, even after that Thanksgiving episode. We love you.
Yeah, she's continuing to make good content. She's just, I'm here for it. I'm here for all the things she makes.
Another powerful Black lesbian. We're going to make it so that you're also bulletproof one day.
We need to make her bulletproof, because we need her to continue to create things and to create beautiful representation of people that don't, of us, that don't get it.
Right on. Before we get into the episodes, I just want to remind you guys that we're on all the social media at CYC Podcast, except for Facebook. It's CYC Pod, because somebody took it. So follow us there, and you can tell us what you think of this episode. We'll probably respond in real time, because we're those kind of people.
Yes, we respond fairly quickly. If you rate and review us, we will send you a sticker, and I will send you a personalized note. We've been
sending them out like mad lately.
Yeah, like, we are out here doing the damn thing. I need to go ahead and I have my letter ready. I just got to send it out, and we're super hyped. Like, send us your rate and review us on iTunes. If you review us, we will send you a sticker, and it will come to you as fast as the U.S. postal system can send things, but we're here for it.
You have to tell us, though.
Yes. Let us know that you did it, and then we're here for it. And give us your address. Right, and yeah. Trust me, I'm not going to I don't remember what I did yesterday, yeah. So I won't stalk you. I promise.
She does not remember what we just talked about.
You can ask Maita. Like, she has to make lists for me, because she could tell me something, and then an hour later, I already forgot what she told me. And that's just who I am. I'm a goldfish. I'm sorry. I apologize.
It's fine. At least I can surprise you.
It's often a surprise.
Right on. So do you want to continue on Black Lightning, or do you want to get into the Chai?
I do, just because it's like supernatural to just, like, let's just, you know, I have more questions. I'm super interested now that we've already talked about Nefesa. I want to know more about this character and this show. I'm interested.
Fantastic. So, obviously, Anissa's going to be our fucking fan favorite, which is why we already ranted and raved about it. But I'm going to get into, like, the entire show, because there's a lot to it. There's many elements that I find important. So
let's do it. I'm into it. Let's
Black Lightning
it.
Just came out. Black Lightning, fucking shit. You know what? Like, I've been writing about the show. I'm pretty sure it just started this year, but I'm going to confirm on the IMDb real fucking quick. Yeah, so it came out this year. 2018 is delivering. Let me fucking tell you. So it has 13 episodes out, and that season finale just passed. For you guys, it's been about a month, but the whole season is out. If they haven't renewed it by now, which I don't know what's gonna happen in the future, but if they haven't, I need you guys to all go to Twitter right now and put hashtag renew Black Lightning, and if yes. it has been renewed, tweet me and be like, you called it, bitch. Okay, cool. so this was created by Salim Akil and Mara Brock Akil, who are they're married to each other. Mara, who's the wife, she
I have a question. Is that the same lady who made Girlfriends?
Yeah. It sure fucking is.
Oh my god, yes, I'm into this already. That's all you had to say. Go ahead, girl.
So she also worked on South Central, the Jamie Foxx show. She worked on Moesha, the game.
Yes.
Being Mary Jane, which is with Gabrielle Union, who I'm like literally head over heels about ever since Bring It On. And yeah, she's just an overall impressive lady. And then, you know, her husband, he's all right.
Yeah. he's cool.
So this show, let me tell you, this show is so fucking special. Like, it literally premiered on MLK Jr. Day.
What's up?
Black Lightning himself, the character we mentioned before on our Queer Heroes and Runaways episode, something like that. Mm-hmm. We talked about how, and I didn't word this very great, but he's the first DC comic book character, black character, I should say, to have his own solo series, like, in, of the comic series, I should say. So that was really cool. Like, this was way back in the day, and now he's also the first black superhero series on the CW.
Am I right? Oh, yeah, right? You're right. It's the CW. You got this right, Maitha. You know your stuff. I believe in you.
So it joined the other four superhero series on the CW, which we just mentioned earlier, and we've only very slightly covered on this show for a reason. So Jefferson Pierce, aka Black Lightning, he's played by Cress Williams, who, for those of you who are like me and have been rewatching Living Single, he was on there and he was dating Khadijah for a long time.
Oh my god.
I was like mind blown. Yeah, he was like on several episodes.
Oh, this is so cool.
So that's who Black Lightning is. It is. So his daughters are played by Disney's Chyna McClain, who, like, really, you know, her whitewashing just completely flies out of sight. Like, she's this like badass little teenage girl. Like, she's badass. So her older sister is Nafessa Williams, who is Anissa, who is Thunder later in the show. So when literally this show from the get-go, like, gets into it, the very first scene, or one of the very first scenes, is Jefferson, who is Black Lightning. He goes through an experience that, like, okay, so black people have to go through this all the fucking time. Like, fucking police officer, like, racial profiling. Mm-hmm. This shit happens all the fucking time. It's one of the very first scenes. And what happens is this police officer pulls over Jeff and Anissa for no fucking reason. I'm not exaggerating. As per usual. Like, basically on suspicion. Yeah. So they make him get out of the vehicle in the pouring rain. And this dude is, like, he's going to this, like, black tie affair. So he's dressed up and he's looking super nice. And they make him get out and get, like, super soaked in the pouring rain. They don't explain themselves at all, which he's trying to get an explanation from them. He's like, why did you pull me over? Like, why are you doing this? And he's not getting any answer from this fucking douchebag. Mm-hmm. So this, like, triggers something in Jeff, and he's just like his eyes go blue, which is what happens when he goes all Black Lightning and shit.
Lit.
And yeah, literally. So it's like for the first time that you see, like, he's just so fucking pissed, you know what I mean? And it's understandable, like, 100%. So on the side, like, as a general thing, what's going on in this town, which is called Freeland, is they're dealing with racist cops and shit like that, and corrupt police forces, just kind of like, you know, we do kind of on a daily basis. But also there's this major gang that torments the city, and it's called, like, it's literally called the 100.
Yeah.
Or the 100.
Wait.
Which I thought was... Yeah. I thought it was... So, like, I don't think it was, like, shade, but I thought it was really good. Like, whoever didn't decide to scrap that after the whole 100 fiasco is a fucking genius, because It's funny, like, to me, because, emoji. Okay, like, the 100 got a bunch of shit because they shot a lesbian.
Wait, what?
And in this show, there's a bulletproof lesbian.
Oh, thank God. Okay. Ooh, you scared me.
Sorry.
It's too much for me to handle.
Shot lesbian without like, warning you. So, yeah, that's amazing to me. Just as a somebody that followed the 100 before and now is following Black Lightning. So Black Lightning, he makes his like return, like he comes back to Freeland, because Black Lightning, this is what's kind of different about this show, like, oh, like usually it's a new hero on the horizon and they kind of tell you like their up and coming story or whatever, but Black Lightning was a hero forever ago and he kind of retired and basically kind of faked his own death.
Oh,
so this is like, he's already older, he has a family and all this shit, and he's just like, he wants to come back because shit's getting really fucking difficult with this gang specifically. So yeah, it's not only is he triggered by that cop being a fucking asshole, mm-hmm. but also that gang or some of the people within it, they get involved and try to fuck with his family. And that's the final straw for him. He's like dunzo after that, obviously. He's like, don't fuck with my daughters. So he comes back and like saves his daughter's ass, and the way that his wife, who he separated from, kind of describes it very often is that he's addicted to being Black Lightning. He's addicted to saving people. So that's kind of what happens. Like, he has another hit of being Black Lightning and he like is like stuck, right? He doesn't want to stop. So that's what happens kind of towards the beginning. But episode 2 is like one of my favorite things that kind of happened when I first started watching it, literally. And Anissa, there's a scene where she's literally like in bed with her girlfriend.
Girl, say what?
And like they're just like real intimate. Like, I'm not gonna like completely spoil it.
Your face, real intimate.
But yeah, it's amazing. Real intimate. Which I like. There was some sort of statistic, like it was the first time that like two women of color are in bed together sharing an intimate moment.
Thank God.
And don't get killed right after. Ugh. Like, that's the first time that's fucking happened or some shit like that.
Yes.
On the CW at the very least.
It makes me happy, so, at least.
Anyways, Anissa, this is when Anissa, sorry, what?
It makes me happy, at least, right?
Oh yeah. It made me real happy. Real happy.
Real. And,
so this was super refreshing to me because like Anissa's not coming to terms with her sexuality. She is already there. She's done and gone, and this is who she is, and she's proud. What she is coming to terms with is the fact is that... Oh my God, that sounded really drunk. What she is coming to terms with... Oh my God. So what she's coming to terms with is the fact that she has, like, super fucking strength, like, out of nowhere, and she keeps having these little outbursts. So she's starting to figure that out. Because, you know, like, she's a busy girl. Like, not only is she in this relationship, but she's also a medical student. She's a teacher. She's a social rights activist. Like, out and proud lesbian. But, like, now it's like, fuck, I have superheroes. Does that fucking changes everything. And she looks at these powers.
Oh, my God. How does she have time to be a superhero? She already is one.
Right. That's what kind of what her father kind of argues later on in the series. Like, you can make such a difference as a medical student, as a future doctor, as a social rights activist. Like, you're already a superhero. And she's just like, I guess she's been doing this for a while now, and she's like, what I accomplished in one day as a superhero, you know what I mean, it in comparison to years and years of being a social rights activist, I guess she starts weighing those options. So
okay, I get
it. So it's pretty amazing to see her go through that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there's also a super interesting super villain. His name is Tobias. He's like this huge, like super tall albino man.
Symbolism.
Like, super random. It's so weird because this dude, you know what I mean, like, I have like mixed feelings about him, but his albinism, like, it's brought up pretty often. And this dude is like, I don't know, he's got like some internalized type of hatred, but also like maybe not so much internalized, but he has like mixed feelings even about Black people. Mm-hmm. He's super critical of them, even though his sister is Black and he cares about her more than anybody in like the entire mm-hmm. world. But he blurs the lines there of like, what it means to be black and like and how people internalize racism. So he's a really, really interesting subject when it comes to like being a villain and what it means to be black. So it's, I'm really curious to like read up more on it. I don't know. It's just, it's very interesting to look at that particular villain. But back to Anissa. What's so what's great about her storyline too, or at least very early on, it's not a huge part of her storyline, quite honestly, but she meets Grace Choi, and this is really great for those of you who are comic book fans, because she like they instantly click and they're talking about comic books and they're in a library. Oh, because I'm sorry, but meeting like another lesbian in a library and dating her, like literally like every lesbian's dream come true. I'm about to go hit up a library. No, but they start bonding over over comic books, specifically The Outsiders, and I thought that this was really awesome because in the comic book series The Outsiders, Thunder and Grace Choi's character are a couple, which I think is really cool. So they put that in within the story that will later become a story. I don't know. I think it's really cool. I'm excited to see what they do with Grace Choi if we get another season.
Oh my god, an interracial queer couple. I love this.
Yeah, and it's not like white and then other. It's like a black woman and then an Asian woman, and they're both super proud and really, really fucking cool. Like,
this is so woke, dude.
And yes, I just said that Anissa has a girlfriend, and she's like kind of like she's. You basically find out that like Anissa is not super into her current girlfriend, but Grace Choi is like, she's here for that shit. You know what I mean? So I'm gonna let
she's
you guys
here
watch
for the
and
cosplay.
Find out.
You guys,
she's what?
She's here for the cosplay.
Oh yeah, that cosplay. Oh yes.
That scene.
But yeah, like I said, it was actually one of the fan questions at the Klexicon panel. They were like, so when the fuck is Grace coming back? And she's just like, I don't know, she needs to come back already. Like, she was on our side. She was just like, right, like, where the fuck is she? So that was kind of cute.
That is really cute.
Yeah, so anyways, like, once Anissa really kind of figures out her powers and stuff, she takes after her father. She's just like, she's ready to like be in the game and really help people and stuff like that. So for us to like get to see more of this, like, once again, let's get this shit renewed. Like, if we want to see more of Grace, and I'm pretty like, I'm 100% sure if it comes back for a second season, Grace is coming back, because like they have to become the outsiders. I don't know, like, I think it's gonna be so fucking cool. Like, we need to do this.
I'm so excited, dude. Like, you have no idea.
Yeah. There's also, like I mentioned earlier, there's a third person with superpowers. There's Jennifer, and her powers are really interesting, and she's an interesting case study too, because she is not like her father, not like her sister. She doesn't want her powers. She's like, fuck this shit. Like, no, this is dangerous. Like, my family keeps almost dying, and she's just really upset about it. But she is also very social justice oriented, but she's also like, she doesn't feel that need to be like the savior all the time. So it's kind of refreshing to have her around sometimes. And she's still a very strong like character, and she's very like, Jennifer's great to have there. She's really fucking funny is what it like, she's the comedic relief. She's super fucking funny. And then yeah, she gets her own little storyline too. So yeah, it's explained that Black Lightning and like where his powers kind of originated from, it has a very fucked up history. So basically, like, if I'm not mistaken, the government like decided that they want to like neutralize some of the communities like back in the day that were starting to stand up to them. So they like created a vaccine to try and like neutralize them and make them more docile and make them more like controllable, if you will. But it like fucking went back on them.
Oh my god, there's so much there.
So they fucked up though, that those vaccines ended up giving a lot of like young people of color superpowers. So then they had this like sick history where they would go around and find those kids and then pick them up and like take them, and they just disappear. So Black Lightning was one of those kids. And it's fucking sad as shit, but they really go deep into that storyline and about like the agents that like, there's a specific character named Gambi who helps Black Lightning a lot. He's kind of like, you know, Batman's butler, has that butler dude or whatever. what's his fucking name?
Yeah.
Alfred. Like, he's basically Black Lightning's Alfred, but in this case, Alfred is kind of a total badass, but he has a sick dark history, so it's interesting. But yeah, there's everything in this fucking series. Like,
oh my god, dude. This is really amazing. Great.
So there's everything. Like, there's protesting. Like, you literally see protests and, like, you know, peaceful protests, I should say. And, like, but you also see the violent side. You see, like, how drugs will infiltrate a community and how it comes from, like, higher powers trying to, with, like, ulterior motives and shit like that. You see a lot of strong women. You see your heroes are flawed and they also have problems. You, like, they face racism head on, and they even talk about, like, childhood trauma, like, all across the board with good people and with bad people. So I think this shit is really fucking great. And I'm gonna pull up my fucking article because I wrote something specific about it, because I literally just before this episode where this recording I wrote about the finale, and I watched the finale. So let me look at my ending comments there, because I know I said something pretty interesting. Ooh, somebody's doing The Color Purple at Popner TV.
What? Really? That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm over here, like, looking at everybody else's articles by accident. Okay, so I guess one last thing that I think would be important to mention is that they have this character who definitely represents, like, a Trump type of character. And you get to...
Oh, God.
So it's it ends up at some point being the Pierce family against this motherfucker, and that's definitely worth seeing, let me fucking tell you. So, yeah. It's really, really fucking cool. Like, and I think that it was a really strong ending to the series. Like I said, three times. I cried three times in this fucking finale. Like, I cannot stand myself.
Three times?
So, I don't know. If I haven't convinced you at this point, I don't know what's wrong with you. Like, this is your own personal issue. Like, it's not even my fault. Like, I relieve myself of this duty.
No, I'm mad interested now, and I've been wanting to watch it. It's just, like, trying to find a platform to watch it on, because I don't know if it's on Hulu yet. So
it's not, like, on Hulu, I would at the very least go, like, on the CW and see what they have available for you to watch. And I'd be surprised if they don't put, like, now that the...
Because with that, I feel like...
Oh, I was going to say, like, I'd be surprised if they don't put it on something pretty soon, considering, like, the whole season is out now. Like, if it's not on, like, Netflix, I imagine it'd go on... Maybe Hulu. I feel like the CW doesn't do a whole lot with Hulu, but definitely, like, Netflix has a good strong chance of being on there.
Yeah, because I know with the CW app, there's not a lot of old. Like, they don't go back that far. They only show a couple episodes, right? We're washed, okay, guys. This is how you know we're washed and old. We just mentioned the WB. But, yeah, I mean, you know, try to watch it on the internet, you guys. Try to find it in your own special way. But please watch it and try to give it ratings, because it's, I'm convinced. I want to watch it.
For sure, and, like...
Like, actually watch it, not just for them.
If by the time this episode comes out, like, there's a platform, we'll definitely tweet it out. Once again, CYC Podcast, or I'll link it on our Cabronas y Chingonas website. However I can, like, I'll make that information available to you guys, because this is important. And we want this show to come back for another few seasons, because I'm sorry, Legends of Tomorrow, Supergirl, Arrow, and The Flash, you're white as hell. Anyways, let's talk about the Chai.
Facts be facts. How many cafecitos do you give it?
Oh, yeah. Like, honestly, nada. No fucking cafecitos, because this shit it'll make you woke. Like, you don't even need caffeine. You might need some tissues. I would say I would give it 5 tissues.
5 exact tissues, you guys. 5.
But I loved it.
Okay, I'm interested. I'm actually down to watch this show. So I agree with you.
Down to clown. I love it.
Down to clown. Oh my god. So should I get into our other amazing black woman today?
You absolutely should. Let me find out exactly what episode we talked about Lena Waithe in before, so I can reference you guys to it in case you guys want to learn more about the creator of this show. We talk a lot about one of her very popular episodes in one of our episodes, and I want to find it. Hold on.
Yes. No, Lena Waithe is an absolute legend in the LGBTQIA, et cetera, et cetera, plus plus. If I forgot y'all, I love y'all. She won a GLAAD award, not a GLAAD award, also a GLAAD award and an Emmy for her Thanksgiving episode on Master of None, which is on Netflix. It's probably the most special episode of Master of None, other than it's just an episode that doesn't center around Aziz Ansari's neuroses.
And so, yeah, this is not about instead, him.
It centers on a black queer woman.
If you want to hear about that, or if you want to watch it and then hear us talk about it, we talk about it on our episode 6, which is called Crystal Butch Magic, and it's a lovely episode.
Yes, there's a lot of love for Lena Waithe in this podcast, way before she was even being discussed and being and winning Emmys and on Variety magazine, which I have. I have that fucking magazine.
Yeah, even before you followed us, even before she followed us, we stand her. Like, she was here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, talk about butch representation in a queer black woman. Like, come on. That's so rare. And I do want to get into her newest project. And by now, there should be rumors of another show she's making called 20s, which she did release a trailer of on YouTube very long ago. And what's funny about when you watch that trailer for 20s is that what you're seeing is the exact intro to Dear White People, which I do believe she was a staff writer on, because the exact same thing said on that trailer for 20s that she's producing and getting made later is the exact same intro to Dear White People. So give it a watch. It's going to be about queer black women. And did you see that?
She's in season 2 of Dear White People.
Which is great, because I know she was writing for season 1 because her friend is Justin Simeon.
Yeah, speaking of Justin, I totally saw him speak at ATX TV Fest last year. Not what I was expecting.
What do you mean? Well, define
love
that.
To the show. He was just like, because he's a guy, and this is what he kind of talked about. He talked about like being the black guy, always being the black guy surrounded by white people. So it was really interesting, like, that was the atmosphere he sort of had to spend a lot of time in. So, yeah, it was interesting to know that about him.
That's kind of whack, yeah. And that's a lot of people's experiences, unfortunately. but, yeah, today I do want to get into The Chive by Lena Waithe. She created this show. She got Common to executive produce and star in. He does kind of like guest star roles, but it's a show that's very interesting because usually when people mention Chicago, especially the South Side, it's only to mention like violence, and it's only coming from an outside POV. It's always like in the news. It's happening with politicians, i.e. 45, talking about Chicago as if he even could begin to understand Chicago's South Side, which is total bullshit. People are always painting Chicago as like this violent, repressive gang state. And what Chai does with the South Side is, instead of vilifying the culture and the violence, they instead center around the realities of living in Chicago's South Side. They center this around family. They center this around children. They center this around all people from all walks of life, and instead of demonizing characters and black people, what they're doing is giving and allowing people to be human and make mistakes and be carefree, even in the South Side. So it's super beautiful when you think about it. So the show came out in January. There's 10 episodes. And you're going to notice some people in there from Moonlight. You have Alex Hibbert. He plays Kevin. He's one of the main characters in this ensemble cast. The alcohol is talking. You got Jason Mitchell. You're going to notice him. He was in Mudbound. And Mudbound was another queer woman directing a movie. His name's Brandon in this episode. And they're kind of the central characters and the catalyst of this show. I don't usually review shows, but this shit's amazing. So when you want to talk about the Chai, like, you're going to want to compare it to other shows that represented black people. But what you want to do is just remind yourself that this was actually made by someone from the south side of Chicago. Like, that's where Lena Waithe kind of grew up with her grandmother until she moved to the suburbs. This was her place. This is her home. So she's coming from an inside POV. And most stories, like, was it Chirac by Spike Lee? Like, bro, what were you doing? You're not from there. And making a musical about Chirac and calling it Chirac and being from the outside, that's hella fucking unwoke and rude of you. Like, did you hear about that, Maitha?
Yeah, like, fucking it. Come on, guys. I didn't hear about that. That's fucking lame.
It's super lame. So this is what the show is doing, is the complete opposite of what everyone thinks of Chicago, and it's showing you instead. Okay, so let's get to it. There is gun violence, of course. And yes, you do want to see carefree black people, and this is all you want. But at the same time, I guess they have to bring in some kind of drama. So they bring in the gun violence, and it's there. It's present. But at the same time, they're showing you the violence. They're showing you the humanity behind every single person that this gun violence has affected. You see Kevin, who, spoiler alert, witnesses a crime. This is the very first episode. He witnesses a retaliation crime to a young boy. His name is Coogie. He is the brother of Brandon. There's lots of characters in this show, so I don't really want to go through all of them, but I do want to go through the central plot. It begins with gun violence, and it ends kind of differently than you think it would. Every character is not, you know, a token black character. And if anything, there's like a token white Latino character, which, you know, I'll take it. He's like the token white guy. He's a cop, of course. I think, and it's beautiful to see.
Wait, you say token white Latino?
Yes, he's a token white Latino. He has like blue eyes and his hair's like light brown. And if he didn't speak, no habla, si no estaba hablando español, I wouldn't be able to tell he was Latino. Like, honestly, I thought he was a white guy. I like how they did that.
All right.
He's still inhabiting this place of like, you know, okay, I'm seeing a white Latino, and of course he's a cop, and he's kind of problematic. But okay.
Oh God.
Yeah, he's not that problematic. Don't get it twisted, but he's still a cop. So there we go. In Chicago, which is,
oh yeah, even, it's okay. So yeah. Yeah. It comes with the position.
It does. It does. It really does. And so what you're getting to see is Kevin and his friends that have been affected by gun violence living their lives. And what I like is that they stray away from making anyone a victim. Instead, they make every single character the opposite of a token character. Every character is acting in a way that shows you that they're more than whatever the news or politicians are making them out to be. So there's this little boy who happens to have, guess what? The best part. He has two queer black women as his mothers. And they are healthy.
Aww.
Dude, they're healthy. They're adorable. I want them to have more screen time second season. But every time you see them, this is the most beautiful depiction of a queer family I've ever seen. And they're not even in it that long, dude. Like, they have, like, a swear jar. Her mom's, like, girlfriend is literally over all the time. She's, like, a mail woman. She works at the post office. And his mom is the most, like, caring mom. Like, she's always watching over him. And I love when the queer people are the most unproblematic people of a show. There's nothing happening to them that's violent, nothing oppressive. They're just carefree black women in love, and it's beautiful.
No queer tears, 2018.
2018, bro. I love Lena Waithe. And her son is very stable. He's having, like, crushes on little girls, and they're showing, like,
he's a little boy, so it's okay.
Yeah, like, no, he's a little boy who's unproblematic. He witnesses a pretty traumatic crime, and he's kind of dealing with it. But at the same time, he has these little friends that are adorable. He has one called Papa. He's like a, you know, he's a thick little boy, but he is so much more than a stereotype. He's actually the coolest boy. What do you mean?
There's no but.
No, I mean, he's the coolest one. Like, he's not, they're not making him out to be the token. Like, he's the one with glasses. Like, you think he's a nerd. There was a scene where they go to the grocery store to buy their where Brandon goes, the little boy from Moonlight, he's the same character. He goes to buy feminine products for his mom and Papa.
Aww.
He's the cutest one because he's like, you're going to be an adult about this. We're going to call your mother and ask her which kind she wants. Because guess what, bro? There are so many and we need to get her the one that she wants. So Papa... Papa also, like,
that reminds me he whittles, of like, wood carvings. Like, he what?
he makes wood carvings. He's like, he gets a phone call from Brandon. He's like, sure, man, but you're really messing with my wood carving time. Like, I got to whittle this really quick, and then I'll get back to you.
amazing.
Brandon and his friends are, like, the most human and human characters in this show, and I love when they show black boys being carefree and black girls being carefree. Yes, there is teenage pregnancy. Yes, there is gun violence. Yes, there is drug dealers. Yes, there is all the stereotypes you could think of, but every single character is more than their stereotype, and that's beautiful. Like, the drug dealer loves his brother, and he's kind of fucked up, but he does try to protect his brother, but he's still a gangster. Brandon is the little kid who has, like, a really good family, and he comes from a two-mother household, lit. Papa, there's no mention of his father, but he is the most woke, generous, kind. He's the best character. If you look, watch this show, Papa is going to be your favorite character. And there's Papa. One more character. He's a, yes, Papa. There's one more character, his name is Brandon. He's like a chef. He's a struggling chef. And he's trying to make it out of the south side of Chicago, yet at the same time, he's kind of brought back in because of gun violence. And I don't want to ruin it for you guys, but it is in the first episode. But he's dealing between making his dreams come true and kind of being stuck in the south side of Chicago, kind of having to deal with the gangs in Chicago, but also trying to make it out. He ends up getting a food truck, and he's trying to make it. And he's none of these characters, including Brandon, Kevin, Papa, they're not stereotypes. They're all so much more. And I wish more people watched The Chai, because I was talking to Noelle from Howl on Life, and she was talking about how other countries watch a lot and they consume a lot of American TV and American movies, American media. And what they see is often the only depictions of other cultures and other ethnicities is often just the television. So this is why representation matters, and that's why good representation matters. There has to be good representation, because if Middle America can begin to understand that humanity is not just you and your white family, that it's also literally everyone, then maybe we can all just, like, somewhat understand each other's humanity, and maybe something will come of it. But maybe I'm asking too much. I don't know. You think I'm asking too much?
Hell the fuck no. I mean, honestly, like, we've had, like, 100 years of white representation. Can we get 100 years of everybody else's representation? I mean, I'm here for it.
Yes. Yes. And that's what The Chai does. Like, is giving you the typical things, because TV and drama and, you know, they have to make it work, but because those things are still real to our communities, you know, like being pregnant very young, gun violence is a real thing that we all experience, and that's why there's such a, I don't know, there's such a connection to On My Block, like, which we'll talk about eventually, but it's a visceral reaction to things that you know and understand, and it feels good to feel not so alone in that. And that's what you see in The Chai, is that you're not so alone in that representation, and you get to see other people kind of going through similar situations as you. And I think everyone deserves that. Everyone deserves to see themselves, and everyone deserves to see their culture and their ethnicity and their lives shown with grace and respect. And that's why The Chai is so damn important. Whether I know I've read a lot of reviews, and I don't agree. Like, a lot of them were saying that it had a lot of missteps. And I was like, in what? They're giving you good representation. The actors are doing so well. The best ones are the children, of course. Plot-wise, nothing in the plot is too surprising. You can kind of see everything coming, which is not that bad. I am okay with it because the acting is superb. all the actors there being shown with such grace, so that I don't mind it. So this is, I don't know, I'm probably gonna have to give this like 4.5 pan dulces, because this is beautiful for me. Like, I'm not trying to ruin plots. Go watch The Chai, go support Lena Waithe. This show is so important. Like, I can't reiterate it more. Like, it's on Showtime. It used to come on Sundays. You can catch the whole thing if you subscribe and binge watch it on Showtime. And you can just do that without having to, like, it's like HBO now. You can just, like, get it. Get the subscription on your phone. So, watch it.
I'm truly curious. Uh-huh. What the fuck are these missteps? Like, what are they criticizing?
Criticizing the plot. They're criticizing how, like, oh, well, I knew that was going to happen. I saw this coming. And it's like, okay, but they said it was predictable. And I agree. Some things are predictable. But I don't give a fuck if you're showing me, like, healthy, happy, loving, complicated black people. Like, what? Like, no other show is doing that, sadly enough. Like, to this kind of death. And no one else is trying to show you the South Side and also show you that, guess what? They're not fucking tropes. They're not stereotypes. They're people who live there in a community and they love each other. And it's beautiful, even though, yes, gun violence is so real. And not just in fucking little suburban white kids' schools where they get shot and they get news coverage. This shit's been happening in the hood and no one gave a fuck, okay? So this is bullshit. Like, everyone needs to just kind of step back. This shit's been happening forever in the hood. And good, I'm glad that people give a fuck, but it's been happening. And this isn't new. And it's been happening disproportionately to people of color. So, I'm getting mad. I'm kind of drunk.
This has been on my list for a little while. You know, I'm usually the one that does TV. It's kind of, you know. That's how important this was. It was Fred Papita who covered this show, you know what I mean? Like, this shit is fucking, like, important. And I've been slacking, you know what? But I've been slacking on the entirety of my life, so it's nothing to do with the show.
Don't take it personal.
I'm 100% committed. Yeah, I'm 100% committed to watching that thing. And most likely it's going to be, like, a Sunday binge at some point.
Do you need a code, bro? I got you.
A code?
Yeah, the Showtime.
Yeah, I'm going to... This show is going to get my love and affection when the time comes. But the only thing I wanted to know, this is its first year. Lena Waithe is an amazing person, but she's also, this is her first show that is hers. That's her baby that she's created. You know what I mean? Like, we need to give it more than a season, you know? Like, a lot of shit is set up. Like, a lot of people get away with a lot of mediocre shit. Like, I've watched some mediocre fucking shows that went on for 5 seasons where the first season was just not strong. Like, let's
all shade
give this
to
show
CBS
some time. All fucking shade, all fucking tea,
all shade
fucking
to ABC,
lemonade, pink lemonade.
That Tim, what is that Tim Allen show that didn't get canceled that came on after Cristela? Who the fuck gives a fuck about a sporting goods store? Get the fuck out of here.
I literally don't care so much that I don't even know the name of that show. So. I mean, let's just, I think that we should definitely give it some more time. We need to get, and not every fucking show has to be like, oh, I can't figure it out, so that means it's good. Like, you being confused does not equal good quality, you know what I mean? Like,
thank you.
There's so many different ways that we can do media. Like, let's just consume and enjoy, and instead of, like, fucking being like, oh, I want to be surprised. Like, fuck that shit. I don't know. Like, so, I'm excited to watch this show. You said how many conchas?
I gave it 4.5 conchas just because I want more queer, happy black women being the best characters and the most healthy and the best representation. Like, but Lena Waithe said that they're going to have more screen time in season 2. So I'm so ready for it. They are the best.
You know what bums me out is that, like, from my standpoint, I feel like I know, or I feel like for me personally, if it were me, I would want to have a show centering that couple or centering just queerness in general. But people kind of expect that kind of thing out of certain people that are, you know, like, not straight, or people that are not just this or just that. Like, they expect them to, quote unquote, like, push their agenda. And then for that reason, when we make it or start to make it, we avoid it like the plague, because we're like, you know, I know we can tell all stories and that's true. But that's not fair. Like, we should be able to center our own stories. And I know it comes with time, but that, yeah. So hopefully if we give this show some love and we give it a second season, she'll have more power to be able to center that story. So here's fucking hoping.
No, right now, she explained herself because they asked her, you know, why are you centering black men? And to use one of Babelito's words, she wanted to demystify this vilification of black men, especially black men from Chicago. So she's like, you know, I grew up around these men. I love them. And I want to demystify the violence that they're associated with because, you know, being a black woman and being a black man in America is absolute utter bullshit. The things that people, that black people get put through is absolute trash. And the United States, the whole fucking world needs to do better. And she wanted to humanize people that, her own people, the people that she loves. And she wanted to humanize and demystify the idea that there's violence there. You know, it's not. It's not. You're not watching this. Every trope, every time that I know a white person would have took it where obviously it would have gone, it did not go there. And that was beautiful to me. I was like, thank you. I know this show has been giving the love that it needs because it's not going into the fucking stereotypes that every, like, The Wire. Like, fuck The Wire. The Wire, like, pisses me so off. Like, that shit, fuck The Wire. I know Sonia Sohn was a queer woman in The Wire, and she's also in The Chi. Shout out to her. She's straight in The Chi, but that's fine. We forgive her. But, like, when I think about it. It's not her fault. Like, yeah, it's not her fault. Like, when I think about The Chi, I think of it as, like, it's what The Wire wishes it was. You know, like, I watched The Wire, the show that, like, white people were obsessed with. Great, I guess. Whatever. Fuck y'all. Like, The Chi is everything The Wire wishes it was, and it was everything I wish The Wire was about, which is just about demystifying these ideas of violence that the Wire just fucking continued and just seeped into that sadness. The Chi is glorifying joy. It's glorifying these communities that are beautiful and saying, hey, fuck your idea and your misconceptions about something you do not know. Fuck the news for fucking vilifying black men and black women. This is not about that. This is about fucking bringing them up and bringing up a community and showing you what it really is. And that it's multifaceted, it's interesting, and it deserves its own beauty. So, let me jump off my soapbox. That's just how I feel.
Right on. I'm going to ask, like, one single question.
Okay.
Just to, like, end it. Just to, like, round out your spiel.
Yes.
other than more queerness, what's one thing that you would want The Chi to improve upon, or something that resonated you in the first season that you want them to continue in the second season? What's something you would want?
Yeah, I want it to center around more black women, because I want, anytime there's a chance for black women to be heard, I want them to be heard. I want them to be shown. I want them more. I want more, more, more. I want more black women talking. It's like, it's the complete opposite of everyone's idea. It's like, yes, more black women talking has never been a bad thing. Except for that one bitch that, like, Kanye talked about that I'm not even going to acknowledge. But other than that stupid hoe, everyone else, like, anyone who's, like, for the right, fuck y'all. Fuck all of you. But any other time, I want to hear black women talk. I want to hear their opinions. So, yes, more black women, more black queer women. Por favor, always.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I'm fucking here for it. So, like, shout out to Shonda, who I think we recently did an episode on. Shout out to Ava, who we'll at some point cover. Shout out to Lena Waithe, who we absolutely adore.
Shout out to Dee Reese, who we covered. Shout out to Black Lightning,
like, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
We can't forget.
Don't hold me to that. I don't know.
Yeah, we can't forget about Dee Reese. She's, like, the black queer director that is existing and creating. Like, when Lena Waithe mentions, like, oh, do black women have Moonlight? She mentioned Pariah, which came out years ago. Years ago. No one's seen it. It didn't even get, like, the same acknowledgement as Moonlight did because they were queer black women. And more people to know about it. More people to watch it. Yes, they will. We already talked about it, I think, at this point, or we will. Right?
Hopefully we'll fucking see, guys. If it's not coming, it came
or it's on its way,
whatever. That sounds gross, but anyways, we have to head out because we're gonna do a live stream, because this episode's gone on for too long.
Sorry.
So let's talk about where you guys can find us and support us, etc.
Yes, find us on Twitter. We're at CYC Podcast. Thank you, Maite, for telling me that's correct.
And We are also on Facebook /CYC Pod, and on Patreon we should have 4 episodes up by now that are available for cheap prices. We have several levels, guys. We have concha levels, we have cafecito levels, we have a fucking arcoiris episode.
Hey, episode arcoiris.
Level. And so go check them out. Like, nothing is too expensive or anything like that, and you guys will help us out quite a bit. But yeah, and then you can also support us on our regular schmigler little Twitters, and mine is MYTEPanda.
Yeah, and mine is @FriedPapita.
So go check us out there and hear our thoughts, and I'll tweet out stuff that I post on Top Nerd TV, because I'm going to be getting a little more active on there again.
Yes.
And yeah.
You can check CYC Podcast. We're always going to be retweeting Maita's articles, so please support.
For sure. And we'll see you guys on a live cast soon. I don't know if you guys are liking those, but I need you guys to tune in and ask us questions. We're going to go do one right now. We got to go do this shit. Am I forgetting anything? We're on Spotify now. You can listen to us there. Leave us a review. We'll give you a sticker. Like, the reviews, like, let me fucking tell you. They make us feel real, real good. Real, real good.
Real, real good. It's for real the reason we keep doing this. So we love you guys.
Yeah, thank you to everybody that's been up in the DMs, even though it was a month ago, whatever. Yeah, we'll see you guys next week for something fucking awesome and dope.
Appreciate y'all. Love y'all. Bye.
Bye.